Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. North Slope oil producers are expected to use tax credits to cover back payments due to the state under a settlement announced last month. Under the proposed settlement, the state expects to collect about $165 million in back taxes. But as the Alaska Energy Desk's Rasha McChesney reports, a new state law allows the companies to pay the debt with tax credits.
The major oil companies on the North Slope are expected to buy tax credits the state owes to other companies and use them to pay off their old tax bills. Right now, the state owes nearly $1 billion to small independent oil and gas companies under a defunct cash for credit scheme that the legislature ended last year. Lawmakers tucked a provision into the law that ended that program that allows companies to buy cash credits and use them against past tax bills.
Because of that, we believe companies are going to purchase, major producers are going to purchase about $100 million worth of these tax credits that are in the hands of the smaller companies.
That's Ken Alper. He's the director of the tax division at the state's Department of Revenue. He says the major companies are probably going to get a pretty good deal out of it.
There's more sellers than there are buyers.
That means that for the major North Slope producers, they're not going to pay full price for those credits, but they'll be able to redeem them for their full value to the state.
From the point of view of the company getting that money, they're just happy to cash out. They want to be able to get their cash and get away. The question is, how much are they willing to accept to do that?
Alper says the state isn't expecting any of this to happen until next year, and there's still a lot to sort out before it could happen. For one, the settlement still has to be approved by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
Alaska's largest rodent is playing a role in transforming the Arctic. University of Alaska Fairbanks researcher Ken Tape and his team have released images showing the impact beavers are having on the tundra above the Arctic Circle. KUAC's Robert Hannon reports.
In the past, UAF scientist Ken Tape has published on the increase of shrubs, size, and range in the face of a warming Arctic. He's also documented how animals have responded to that increase, with moose moving northwards. And so have beavers, Tape says. But the response by North America's largest rodent is a game changer.
Call them a keystone species, you can call them an ecosystem engineer. They really affect the landscape. And secondly, they leave a mark on the landscape that you can see from space and satellite imagery.
Using a sophisticated algorithm that sifted 15 years' worth of satellite images, Tape and his team saw new lakes and ponds spring up across the northern landscape, created by beaver dams. Tape says those new ponds are introducing a positive feedback loop into the environment.
You have this little miniature wetland that's formed, and then it has a tail all the way downstream where it's impacting that aquatic ecosystem and being oasis for more biological activity as well as permafrost thaw.
That thawing permafrost in turn releases more carbon into the system, potentially increasing greenhouse gas emissions. Tape, though, is hesitant to draw hard conclusions. That's because he says not much is known about the historic range of beavers in the far north.
We don't know exactly what has driven beavers into the tundra, but for the last century, they've been rebounding from heavy trapping.
Tape says it will be exciting to document that rebound and its impact on the northern landscape in future studies. Tape and his team recently presented their findings at the American Geophysical Union's annual meeting. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
President Trump says he's ready to move ahead on a campaign pledge to pass a $1 trillion program to improve the nation's infrastructure. That's motivated officials with a Glen Allen-based economic development organization and the electrical co-op that serves the area to dust off a plan to build a 300-mile-long transmission line from Sutton to Tok and Delta Junction. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Backers of the proposed road belt electrical transmission line say the project would create a statewide grid that would improve the reliability of the interior's power supply and efficient use of power plants. They say it would generate economic development, reduce the cost of power, and enable greater use of electricity generated by such renewable sources as wind or hydro. The only problem is finding the $300 to $500 million the big power line is estimated to cost. But advocates of the project say they think they know where they can get that money.
I am going to ask Congress to pass legislation that produces $1 trillion of new investment in America's crumbling infrastructure.
That's President-elect Donald Trump repeating a year ago a pledge he made throughout his campaign to inject $1 trillion into projects to fix the nation's public facilities.
Right now, we have an administration that is looking to build infrastructure.
That's Jason Hoke, executive director of the Copper Valley Development Association, who says Trump's proposal has breathed new life into a nearly 30-year-old plan to build what's now referred to as the Road Belt Power Line.
A lot of this kind of came back up again because of the potential for some federal infrastructure money.
And that's Travis Million, another supporter of the project. He's chief operating officer of Glen Allen-based Copper Valley Electric Association. Million says the plan evolved from proposals for a smaller power line, known as the Northeast Transmission Intertie Project, that was studied in the 1980s.
This project goes all the way back to 1989. There were some feasibility studies, and then again in 94 and 95. And at that time, it was only looking at basically a line from Sutton to Glen Allen, and it was only to kind of serve the Glen Allen Copper Valley Electric area, where this was looking more statewide.
This latest iteration of the project calls for construction of a 138 kilovolt power line along the Glen Highway from Sutton in the Matanuska Electric Association's service area to Glen Allen, which is served by Copper Valley Electric. Then a smaller 69 kilovolt line would be built along the Richardson Highway north to Gakona, then northeast along the Tok Cutoff to the Alaska Highway through Tok, which is served by Alaska Power and Telephone, then on to Delta Junction in Golden Valley's service area.
There's a lot of work that still has to go into this.
Million says the project would help Copper Valley Electric cut the costs of generating power in winter with diesel-fueled generators. In the summer, the utility mainly generates with its network of hydropower plants.
So our rates are fairly low in the summer, but they're extremely high in the wintertime just based on the cost of fuels.
Golden Valley Electric Engineering Services Manager Dan Bishop says the new power line would enable the utilities to generate more electricity with hydro and other renewable energy sources.
There may be the opportunity to add additional hydroelectric generation.
Bishop says the additional generating capacity would improve reliability and provide backup power during outages, and he said more customers and demand will boost the economies of scale and put downward pressure on electricity rates.
We could expect some economic benefits from that.
Hoke says the project would boost economic development by providing electricity for mining and possibly pipeline pump stations along the route. He predicts it also would benefit the interior's military installations, which now buy most of their power from Golden Valley.
The military needs more power, and they need redundant power.
Hoke says the state's congressional delegation supports the idea, as do legislators who represent districts the power line would pass through. He says the utilities that would be involved in the project also support it, as do Alaska Native organizations like Tanana Chiefs Conference and corporations like Doyon and Otna.
We've got 17 self-governing tribes behind this, 17 other communities behind this.
Hoke says he's working with Otna and Tanana Chiefs to help secure at least $1 million in federal funding for a reconnaissance study that would update previous analyses and provide more accurate cost estimates. He says he's working on a January 22nd meeting with representatives of the state's congressional delegation and federal cabinet-level agencies to argue that the project should be included in any infrastructure program that emerges from Congress. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Wet snow has been falling at Anchorage's Kincaid Park this morning as the U.S. National Cross Country Ski Championships are set to get underway. Warm weather in recent weeks reduced skiable terrain at Kincaid Park, and event organizers used snowmaking to create a 2.5-kilometer loop for this week's races. Some of the nation's top cross-country skiers are in Anchorage for the 4 national championship events, which will be used to fill a few open spots on the U.S. team that will compete in next month's Olympics in South Korea. I'm Dan Bross.